Good morning. It's really good to see everyone. We have a good number present. I'm thankful for your coming to be with us. We do have visitors with us as well, and we're always glad to have you in our presence. Hope that you will feel welcome and come back anytime that you can be with us. A few accuse me of being a visitor, but I did just miss one Sunday, and it's good to be back. I enjoyed thoroughly the opportunity to be with the Payden City Church of Christ. On the edge of West Virginia, the only thing that separated it from Ohio was the Ohio River. I had not been with the congregation there before. It was the first time I'd been with them. I did know the preacher that's there now from working with him in the past in some gospel meetings. But it was the first time to be with that group, and they were very pleasant, enjoyed the week thoroughly. We had good, consistent attendance from night to night, a lot of visitors that came, and I think was a very good week that we thoroughly enjoyed. That the worst thing that happened, one night, I got there with my flash drive to try to load on the computer, and happened to drop it. It bounced off my shoe and just went right in front of the plug. But the problem was there was a hole about this wide in the plug just above it, and it went down about a foot below in the, under the podium. So we had one gentleman tried to go around from the back and crawl back in there, and he couldn't get in there. And finally, the preacher kind of did a MacGyver moment. He got a cardboard tube and, lo and behold, duct tape, and wrapped the end of it and got it down in there and got it out. But in the process of getting it out, then he messed up the connection to the projector. And so we got the stick, but then messed up the projector. So that night I preached without the PowerPoint, and it worked just fine. But it was an interesting night that evening. Again, I appreciate your being here, and I want to talk with you this morning for a little bit about what I will call seven signs of spiritual maturity. You know, in the Word of God, it teaches us that it's good at times for us to have the traits of little children. And Jesus, in fact, said, unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And yet, at the same time, we are taught to grow up, and we're taught to mature into our head, Jesus Christ, and that we are to grow and to develop. And in fact, Paul also said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. So it's interesting the contrast there. There are certain traits and characteristics of innocent children that we should always hold on to, but then there are ways that we are to grow and to develop. And the Hebrew writer actually condemned the Christians that he was writing to about the fact that some of them had not grown and developed and matured as they should, and that they were still carnal or still like children when they ought to be growing up and maturing. So it's very important that as we continue on in our service as Christians, that we develop spiritual maturity. And I want to think about the traits that show real maturity on our part. And I want you to think about those with me today. First of all is the idea of developing patience. Now, if there's one thing that's true of the little child, it's that they most often are not patient. How many times have you seen the little child, mom or dad, is trying to talk with somebody and they're standing there tugging, you know, trying to get their attention, trying to get them to listen to them, and they're being told, wait, 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 but children are not good at waiting. Well, sometimes as adults, we're not good at being patient, as we are in fact instructed to be. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, and there in verse 43, it said, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Now, this is looking at patience from the perspective of handling and enduring mistreatment. Because we know as children of God, and we studied about Jeremiah this morning, and we're just getting into all of the things that he went through, and he endured those patiently. Can we patiently take mistreatment of others? Can we handle being hated by an enemy and mistreated by an enemy? And those that would spitefully use us or persecute us. He said, this shows when we're able to do that, that you're sons of God, sons of your Father in heaven. And so again, this is one of the traits that we need to work on and to develop as we go through our lives. James talks about it in chapter 1 and in verse 2 when he said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Patience comes by the testing of our faith. And as we try to serve God through the years and faithfully worship and serve Him, we're going to be tested. Again, can we endure? Will we develop a greater patience here and a greater ability to serve God and to hold on faithfully? He said, in doing that, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete. There is the idea of growing up, maturing, being complete as a child of God. And then he says, lacking nothing. Now, not only patience is important when it comes to serving God, but practicing perseverance, which is kind of the other side of patience. They are definitely related. One is handling mistreatment properly, but also the other side of the coin is kind of not giving up, not quitting. You know, again, a young child, again, when the task gets hard or difficult, often will just give up more easily and get tired and quit doing whatever it is that's difficult. And as adults, while we are tempted to do that, there are times that being an adult and maturing, and especially spiritually being faithful to God, is not quitting when the going gets rough. You know, if we could not seat all of the people in this auditorium this morning, if all who have ever been saints, ever been children of God and obeyed the gospel and had not quit, were also here today, we couldn't seat them all. Think about how many began the walk with Christ only when, as in the parable of the sower, the sun comes up and the heat beats down and it gets difficult and hard to remain faithful. They just quit. They give up. They do not have patience and perseverance. The ability to keep going and to do the job. You know, it's just like tomorrow morning when it's time for you to get up and go to work. You may not feel like it. You may not want to do so. But the adult thing is you go on and you do what's respected or what's expected of you. You meet your obligations. That's maturity. That's growing up. And in Christ, growing up means being persevering and not quitting easily. Galatians 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Again, so many things that can work against us, and it's too easy at times to say, I've had it, I'm quitting, I'm giving up, and that, of course, is a lack of spiritual maturity. We must not lose heart. We must not quit. In the right time, after this life is over, for the child of God, the end of the line is death. We're to be faithful to God the rest of our lives and not give in, not quit, regardless of how others treat us, regardless of what we may suffer in this world in regard to health or finances or friends, whatever it may be. Satan will use any and everything he can against us and throw it against us, trying to get us to throw in the towel and give up. And we must not lose heart. Losing heart is quitting, giving in, yielding. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't lose heart. Then handling failure without quitting. You know, one of the lessons that young people learn is they develop and grow. And I'm told that even, you know, being involved in sports and things of this nature help us learn some valuable lessons. Some lessons that are hard, like losing. That you can't win all the time. And no one wins all of the time. And sometime or another, you're going to try and you'll fail. And now, even in that, there are lessons to be learned. And basically, that you don't quit. You know, if you're playing tennis, you don't throw your racket. If you're golfing, you don't throw your golf club. You don't just quit and get upset and act like a baby is the idea. Well, turning that again to spiritual lessons. Again, we will fail from time to time. And even as children of God, our failures are more serious than they are when we're talking about just losing a ball game or something of that nature. We're talking about our soul being on the line. And sometime or another, we're going to sin. We're going to falter. We're going, again, to find ourselves not doing what we should have done and not accomplishing what we tried to accomplish. And it would be easy just to say, well, I quit, and to give up. But that's not the mature thing. The sign of maturity is you learn from that failure. You change what needs to be changed. In this case, if you need to repent, you need to confess your sin and ask for God's forgiveness and be restored and do it again. And I think about even as we grow and develop in our service to God, how easy it would be to quit. And not get up and do anything again simply because maybe I failed the first time, at least even in my own eyes. You know, we're blessed when as God's children, we began to grow and develop spiritually, and we began to do things like, you know, even young men learning to lead singing or offer an invitation and things of that nature. I think about, and I think back many years ago, if I had based my need to continue leading singing on those first few times when I got up and did it, I wouldn't be doing it at all. And I think about how we are fortunate to be in a friendly crowd, that people are for you, they support you, they help you, they encourage you when you begin to do things. But sooner or later, you know, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to have a failure. How do you handle that? And if you don't quit, you keep on going and you work to improve and to grow and to develop and to do even more than you ever believed that you could, then that's spiritual maturity. That's what God wants. Not perfection from the beginning, but learning, growing, developing. When we fail, we get up, we do it again, and we work to do it better the next time. And again, if we all quit when we failed, as Christians, there would be no Christians, because all of us sooner or later have failed to faithfully serve God and grow and develop as we should. But we simply must not quit. Look at Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected. That's true of all of us. None of us are as complete or completely mature as we need to be. None of us will get to where I've developed in all of these areas. You know, read through the Christian virtues or the fruits of the Spirit and tell me how many of these you've mastered to the degree that you don't need to work on any of them anymore. We know that with all of us, developing and growing and perfecting ourselves as Christians will be a lifelong task. But we should be getting better. We should be getting closer to that great example of the Son of God. He said, even Paul said, I have not already perfected myself, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Remember, we are in a race for eternal life, and we can win the prize, but not by quitting, not by giving up when we fail, but getting back up and continuing to run, continuing to work to lay hold on the prize at the end. 1 John 1 and verse 9, in regard to our failures when it comes to sin, John said, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Fortunately, our loving and merciful Heavenly Father has provided a way that when we fail, if we recognize it, we'll admit it to ourselves and get back up and follow His Word, we can once again be cleansed from our unrighteousness. But when we do quit, when we won't give up, when we won't repent or confess our sin and seek the forgiveness of God, then we truly have failed in a way that we cannot be forgiven. Another sign of spiritual maturity is putting on humility. Putting on humility. Again, it seems to be a natural thing that when we're children, we're absorbed with ourselves. It is all about me and all about what I want and my way and my will. As we develop and grow spiritually, that should be less and less about me and more about others and more about God. That's what spiritual maturity will do in our lives. James 4 says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. So much better that God lifts us up rather than we lifting ourselves up, being puffed up about ourselves and our own way and our own will. God will exalt the one who humbles himself. And again, I found it interesting how, as we in our study this morning in Jeremiah, looked at Jeremiah and his attitude. When God called him as a young man and he said, you know, I'm not up for this. I'm not able to do this. I'm just a young man. But too often in the days of youth, we may feel the opposite, that we know more, we can do anything, and we're, you know, that we're the one. But clearly, the attitude of great servants of God throughout history, including Moses, was a humble mind in regard to themselves. Now, again, it can go too far to where we just say, well, I'm nobody and can't do anything, and we're not willing to try. And that, you know, that's not the kind of humility that he wants, but he does want us to humbly realize our own weakness and our own need when it comes to God and to depend on him. And God loves that attitude of heart and spirit, and then he will lift us up. 1 Peter 5 says in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another. Be clothed with humility. Nothing more beautiful than one clothed with humility, who again is respectful of others, who submits to others. Again, he talks about here the idea of submitting one to another. One not just having to have or pushing his own will in his own way. Again, to the harm and the detriment of relationships. And contrary to the idea of God exalting the humble, God resists the proud. If there's a reason to get rid of pride and to grow up and to overcome that me complex when we are young, it's because God will resist the proud and gives grace to the humble. We all need the grace of God, but it's reserved for the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Look at the contrast between God wanting to bless us and help us, but it's for the humble, rather than for the arrogant and the proud. So again, this is a spiritual trait of maturity that we need to work on in our lives. And then each of us needs to be grounded firmly in the Word of God. That cannot happen immediately in our life or without effort and conscious planning that we spend time in the Word of God. You can't just, you know, go out somewhere and buy grounded strength in God's Word. It's not something that comes in that way. It starts with our little children and their Bible classes. And it starts as parents that we make sure that we're feeding our children spiritually a strong diet, both in the home and in taking advantage of what the church has to offer, doing everything that we can to help them grow and to develop. And that over time they begin to learn these things that are so crucial and vital to producing faith in their heart and eventually helping them grow and mature. I've likened many times through the years an example that I think illustrates very well where we are. And that is that each of us kind of has our own spiritual puzzle when it comes to the Word of God. And we're putting it together piece by piece. You know, just like you start and maybe get all of the border pieces and you try to get the border done and then you start working on the middle. And there are pieces of the puzzle that you cannot know where they go till you get a few other pieces in place. And then suddenly, that's where this piece goes. How complete is your puzzle? You know, how are you growing and developing spiritually in your knowledge of the Word of God? And, you know, the more you get the puzzle together, the more it begins to make a real picture to you. And you begin to see, okay, now I understand. You know, you can't start in this puzzle with Revelation or maybe Hebrews or Romans or some of the Old Testament books and things that are very difficult. Again, as children, we begin very elementary, but we're still putting those pieces together. And later on, to put the more complex pieces in place, we got to start with the basic ones. Again, where are we at spiritually and in maturity and being grounded in the Word of God? Are we learning more, or are a few pieces of the puzzle being taken away because we're not adding more? We've quit studying the Word of God. There's never a time for us as Christians, as God's children, to stop growing in our knowledge of the Word of God. And by this time next year and the next year, I should be more grounded in the faith than I am now. Now, I firmly believe when I get to the end of my life, my puzzle's not going to be finished. There are going to be a few holes still, and I won't know everything yet that I would still like to completely know and understand. But I should know more than I do now. And I don't care how old we get. You know, even if you can't see anymore, you can hear now, perhaps. You know, there are so many means available today that whatever our physical handicap, we can continue to grow and develop in God's Word. And the Spirit can be renewed day by day. Let's help our children grow, and let's keep growing ourselves. A sign of spiritual maturity is a strong knowledge being grounded in the faith, like that tree by the river of water described in Psalm 1 and verse 1. And in Ephesians 4, Paul said that we should no longer be children, how? Tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You know, when you have people knock on your door that are teaching false doctrine and they want to talk with you about the Word of God, you shouldn't be easily swayed or carried about with false doctrine. You should be able to answer questions and know why you believe what you believe. Peter talks about being ready to give an answer to every man that would ask you a reason of the hope that is within you. That only happens when you're grounded in the faith, when you are learning God's Word. And like Jesus, when he was tempted by the devil, to be able to come back and say, "No, it is written." We should easily detect false doctrines over the years that we come in contact with because we are so grounded in the truth. And so he said, we should not be carried about by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head. We're to grow up in Christ, in our knowledge, in our understanding of the Word of God. And another thing that is a mature trait or characteristic is being dependable. Being dependable. In other words, you make a promise to someone, you keep it. You know, again, too often, if we're immature and we don't really understand the importance of it, we may make a promise that we break, that we don't keep, or we may tell someone we'll be there to work on a job and we don't show up. That's immaturity. That's not being an adult, basically, and accepting responsibility. So here's the idea when it comes to Christ. What is spiritual maturity? Keeping our promise to the Lord. Putting first the kingdom of God in our lives. Being faithful in our attendance. And knowing that when we make a commitment, that we're going to keep that commitment. In James 5, in verse 12, he said, "But above all, my brethren, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your no, no, lest you fall into judgment." Again, if we promise something, which we are doing when we become a child of God, and we're making this covenant with God, it's basically an agreement that we will serve Him. We will be faithful, knowing that He is faithful. And maturity leads us to be dependable in those commitments that we have made. Including, as Hebrews 10 says in verse 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That considering one another gets back to what we already talked about. It's not all about me, but even if I were to willingly miss services, I'm not considering one another. I'm not considering the congregation and the impact that I may have on it because I'm not keeping my commitment and helping strengthen the whole. And it's rather I've made a selfish choice for me, something that I have valued above, for instance, assembling with the saints. He said, stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another. So even in keeping commitments, like attendance and worshiping God on the first day of the week, partaking together of the Lord's Supper, and like giving as I have prospered, because again of the concern of the welfare of the body of Christ and helping again the church be able to do the work that God intended for it to do. All of that is part of maturity and growth and strength, and recognizing that again humbly as a child of God. And then the seventh and final sign is single-mindedly serving God. Younger we are, the harder it is for us to focus on one thing for very long. The attention span of a child is really very short. And ours, you know, may not be better if we're not careful. And it's too easy for us, again, we've talked about in this list, not quitting and patiently enduring and persevering. And now this last one, single-mindedly serving God, is a sign, again, of spiritual maturity, meaning that I can focus on the goal, on what matters. And I'm not going to let Satan distract me. I'm not going to let the world distract me. I'm not going to let sin and temptation distract me. I'm not going to let my life, my vocation, my hobbies, none of these things distract me or pull me away from single-mindedly making the determination that I'm going to go to heaven. I am not going to be lost. I am working for that eternal home in heaven, and I'm laser-focused on it, single-mindedly devoted to serving God, no matter what. And again, we talked about in our Bible study how Jeremiah was that way when it came to carrying out the work that God gave him to do. It wasn't easy. It would have been very easy for him to quit. He never got any encouragement that we read about from anybody. 40 years of being persecuted, but he single-mindedly remained committed to God and to the task that God gave him. That was great spiritual maturity. Again, if we quit, if we lose focus, we end up being distracted and carried off for something else going on in our life, good or bad. That's a sign of spiritual immaturity. We need to be committed to God no matter what. Matthew 6 puts it this way in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What he's saying is you've got to choose. You know, too many times a child may say, I want this. And, oh, no, no, don't want that. I want this. In other words, if you ever go into a toy store with a three-year-old and you wait for them to make a choice, and as soon as they've chosen one, they're, no, I don't want that, I don't want this. And it's back and forth, back and forth. And too many times with God, people are back and forth. I'm going to serve God. No, 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 I'm not, you know. And then they're back and forth. We can't pick two masters. There's only one number one in our life. And it's got to be single-minded commitment and devotion to God. Joshua said in chapter 24, verse 15, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. He was tired of Israel wavering back and forth. It would be Jehovah, then it would be Baal or Ashtoreth or any other of these foreign gods. And they would be repenting and coming back and serving God. And then it wasn't long till they'd be back and forth. Just like the book of Judges was continually serving God and forgetting God. A whole cycle of it over and over. And our lives should not be that way. Imagine how God feels that if one day we're praying and we love Him and then the next we're not. And we're on and off, hot and cold, back and forth. He told those at Laodicea that made him sick and he would vomit them out of his mouth. And so again, we need that full commitment. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. And he says basically that if God is God, then we need to make up our mind and serve Him. So these may not be a full extensive list, but there are seven good ways that we need to work on as growing and maturing and developing in our service to God. Serving patiently. Whatever comes our way, whatever persecution or trials, we are patient in the way that we handle it and we don't quit. Practicing perseverance and commitment to God without quitting when we fail, not if we fail, but when we fail, that we get back up and we do it again. And we continue to work to grow better. Putting on humility and getting rid of pride. Continuing to ground and to develop ourselves in a greater knowledge of the Word of God. Being dependable. Keeping the promises that we have made because we know we're serving a God who will keep His promises. And single-mindedly committing ourselves. These are traits of maturity and spiritual growth that all of us need. I might ask you this morning, if you are not a Christian, have you made that commitment to God? Have you decided to serve God and become a Christian? If not, why not? And for you to realize that, again, you need to grow and develop, but it starts by making the decision to become a Christian. You start off as a babe in Christ, but you can never grow and develop and mature until you become first that babe in Christ and that beginning that is accomplished in baptism, when you put off the old man of sin and put on the new creature in Christ. If you haven't done that, let me encourage you to make that choice this morning. We stand ready to help you and assist you in that, and we encourage you to come while we stand and sing.